next presentation, Adam is going to present the revision of 3265 bis. Keith had some questions about the scope of this effort, so Adam is going to clarify that. I mean, just remember that this just became a working group item.
I'm going to go ahead and use... Why is this not on? Can you hear me?
No.
Can you hear me through the speakers? No. All right, I'll use...
Hello?
Oh, there we go. It was just off. I like looking at the screen while I'm doing this. So. All right, so 3265 bis. You might may ask why we're... It's not bouncing off. Why are we doing this, right? So you might recall that one of the last times I was up and...
It's
not... Is it? Do I look stupid? I'll use this one.
No, it's supposed to go on top of your ear, I think.
All right. It's become too complicated. You might remember one of the last times I was up in front of a room talking to y'all about SIP events. I put up a picture of my, at that point, newborn son. Well, he's in third grade now. We've learned an awful lot in the intervening time period, both he and this group. And we've seen a lot of implementation, we've learned a lot of lessons, and we've filed a whole bunch of bugs, right? So the original document also made a bunch of compromises that we were not exactly happy with at the time that sort of reflected the capabilities of the SIP protocol when all of that was going on. This is why we did things like shared dialogues. In fact, 3265 was one of the reasons that we had sharing of dialogues between application and state, and it was kind of bolted on at the last minute. So I have this broken up into, we have some open issues that are, there aren't even proposals in the draft. And then I could probably go for 45 minutes talking about the other changes that have proposals in the document. You basically can go through and read them and ratify them on the list if you want to or disagree with them. But the important ones, there are three open issues in there right now that I'd like to have some discussion on. So the first one, bug 711, is the way that allow events was set up in the original document, it didn't really address specifically how you talked about support for templates. So, for example, if you support the WinFO extension, it's not clear whether you're supposed to say, I support presence and presence.winfo and presence.winfo.winfo and presence.winfo.winfo.winfo.winfo, or just I support presence and I support WinFO. And it's kind of up to you to figure out what combination of those are going to work for you. And of course, as you start having more event packages, you have to have a much longer list. You have, you know, basically an explosion of here are the templates and here are the event packages that I support. Or even worse, when you have multiple templates, the permutations of applying those to each other make it a very expensive proposition just from a byte's perspective on the wire to express all of this properly. So the biggest thing I'd like to hear from people who have actually gone out and implemented SIP events, specifically people who have gone out and implemented WinFO, is how have you done this? What do you see on the wire when you support WinFO? Do you actually expand it and say these are the things I can apply WinFO to, or do you just indicate it as an event package? And I know we have implementers in this room.
Anybody? You want me to like pass the mic to somebody? So what I've seen at SIPITs is that people put the events in the advertisement of what event, and it's Robert Sparks, sorry. In the allow events header, they just put the top level events, and they don't advertise that they support WinFO or not, and if they somebody tries a WinFO and it fails, things seem to be okay. It's not optimal. For WinFO itself, this doesn't seem to be causing pain. Future event packages, it might. And my recommendation for this particular bug's resolution right this second would be to note that it's an issue and that we would address the issue at some point in time that we had a second event package where it would really make an implementation difference.
So you're saying basically... If there were concrete advice you were giving an implementer about, you've done WinFO, do you let people know?
Well, I originally came up to answer what I had seen implemented already. versus what's in the spec. And what my statement reduced to before was to leave this a mess at the moment, because the mess really doesn't seem to be causing deployment pain.
You're almost back to the question of asking why we even need supported events at all, or allow events at all.
Yeah. The thing is that at the moment, we have multiple events. We only have one event package. And people are basically falling back to probing to, not an event package,
one template.
Template. And people are probing for support for the template rather than looking for an announcement. And that's not causing deployment pain right now.
Well, I guess my question there is, when it does start causing pain, do we want to go and do a 6285 BIS to fix that problem?
Do you want to go back to your original slide where you were showing Trevor? We have one template.
Okay.
It was nice that we created this templating mechanism, but there just hasn't seemed to be just a huge amount of demand for templates.
All right, that's a good point.
You know, we could even consider turning Presence WinFo into a full-fledged event package and deprecating WinFo as a template. I mean, is anybody using WinFo for anything but Presence?
I can construct pretty good use cases for using for RegInfo.
I think we could argue it. So we should consider it. I'm not necessarily saying that's my position, but
okay. Any other opinions on this, or should we leave it the way that it is? I would actually go so far as to codify saying, when you implement an event package, a template package, you just don't advertise it. If that's the advice that you're giving, then I want to have it explicit.
I would be worth seeing if we could get consensus. I would be willing to see if we could get consensus around that. I don't think it's a great answer, but I don't see that putting a lot of effort into getting a great answer on this is worth it at this time.
Okay. So that would preclude going and poking each person in the room individually to find out then. All right, well, so we basically went through, we kind of shortcut all of this. I was going to suggest we had a couple of different things or something really fancy, but we've gone sort of with an option zero here of kind of leave it ambiguous and don't even bother advertising templates. Open issue number two, and this isn't really a big one, except for it has confused implementers from the very beginning about whether to send a 200 and whether to send a 202. And the utility of this is questionable to start with, because due to forking, there's a very good chance that what you get back isn't going to even correlate necessarily to the subscription that you ultimately end up establishing, or wouldn't apply to all of the subscriptions you end up establishing. As far as I can tell, when you get a 202, no one treats it differently from a 200. So is this something we should go ahead and just scrap, effectively deprecate by omission? Or are people actually using this to some effect?
The usual's really just 200.
Okay, so one voice for getting rid of it.
Christopher Hollenberg, just a question. Is this the only usage we have for 2 and 2 at all? So would this mean that we throw away the whole response code, or are we using it in some other draft or somewhere else?
I mean, refer is setting up a subscription effectively, right?
Yeah, it's the exact same semantics in refer. So by scrap, I think that the right thing to do here is to write clarifying text and to go ahead and admit the history. Recommend that people just always use 200s, and if they receive a 202, to treat it as a 200.
Which is a reiteration of 3261.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, just don't, I would not omit 202 from the document and have things disappear into the night quietly. Just have an explicit, you might get one of these.
So do you want a formal deprecation of should not send this?
Yes.
Okay.
Keith Drage here. What are you actually trying to solve here? I mean, I thought the original semantics of 202 versus 200 are clear. I don't see an interoperability problem at the moment from what you're writing on the slide, and therefore, is there really anything that needs fixing?
Can I answer that?
If people don't implement the spec correctly, then sometimes that causes problems.
Ah, you're making a broad assumption when you say the word correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so
what problems are we seeing in the field because people are doing the wrong thing? And do we just tell them to go and implement the spec correctly?
So there are new implementations that show up at SIPPETS that have made an assumption about what 200s and 202s mean. It's not stated in the spec. It can be implied from the spec, but it's incorrect. And it's legacy. The reason it can be implied from the spec, and I'll tell you what the assumption was in just a second. It can be implied from the spec because at one point in time when we created 202, before we discovered that we had the NIT problem with subscribe and we couldn't go do this QAuth thing that we originally tried, that's what caused 202 to show up in the first place, was we were going to go do QAuth. And when we cleaned QAuth out and went back to immediate notify, we didn't clean the 202 back out. The assumption is around authorization policy. And they get really bent out of shape, first-time implementers, when they get a 202 in response to a subscribe about that meaning something about whether or not they have a subscription or they don't, whether or not they need to go provide authorization policy or they don't. They try to put code behind, do different things because they got that 202, then they got that 200. And when we point out that later in 3265, all the information they're looking for is now in that initial notify,
the immediate notify,
but in the subscription state headers, state equals, wherever it is that you put active, pending, all that other stuff. Then they go change those pieces of code that they wrote to operate off of those bits, right? And what we want to do is to guide future implementers to realize that they need to be looking in the initial notify for that policy, then looking at the response to the subscribe.
But Keith Trage again. I don't really see how removing 202 gives that guidance. You're asking for something else.
Fundamentally, the problem is that you can get information in the response to a subscribe that is inconsistent with the state of the actual subscription that gets established. And that causes people confusion.
So by removing 202, what I'm suggesting is that we say, just send 200s, be ready to receive a 202, treat it as a 200, and you're done.
But Keith Trage again, but presumably you can get information in a 200 response that is misleading people to read it instead of waiting for the notify that comes along. So we're back in the same problem.
No, there isn't. The problem is bigger with 202 than it is with just 200. I will agree that there you could have some misinformation into 200, but it's a different kind of misinformation than we imply when we provide a separate 202.
Andrew Allen. All things being equal, I would recommend that you don't actually completely remove 202. I think then it will be a much harder task for people who then want to adopt RFC 3265 BIS, because there's an awful lot of other specifications out there that already include using the 202, and so then those specifications would need a much more significant rewrite in order to rev them up to the new version. So maybe you should leave it in there, discuss the use of it, and maybe, like you said earlier, it's recommended that you don't send a 202, but actually to remove it completely would actually make it much harder work for some of the other bodies that are using.
Okay, so effectively the same suggestion that Robert gave, I believe.
Christer Holmberg, I don't have a strong feelings, but I don't see what would be solved. Because no matter if you use 2 or 200, the only thing it means that, okay, now there is one entity who has, accepted to subscribe. The problem or the issue with subscription is that it can be forked, but you're not going to get, whether it's 200 or 202, you're not going to get those that everyone sends, or you may get those, but you can also get a notification. I think the draft says that you actually, if you get a notify before you get a response, that would already establish the subscription or the dialogue, whatever. So I don't, maybe I missed it here, but I don't really see what 200 would solve. But using 200 instead of 202, I think you have the same kind of issue, don't you?
Right. Well, so as Robert pointed out, it's actually solving some real world issues we're seeing in implementations at SIPPETS. It's to make the whole thing a little bit easier for implementers is the idea. So, but I believe that the guidance that we received the suggestions we received from Robert and from Andrew is effectively leave it in there and just suggest it not be sent. And I think that probably gets us most of the way to solving the implementer's problem.
Note that we have 10 minutes left and we are still in the first bag, so yes, you know.
Right, right. Well, so this is the second of the three things that I really want to get through, so. Sorry? Weekly, I believe it is deprecate it, but don't remove it.
Well, at the moment, I...
This is Avshalom Houri. I agree with Robert's comment that we should deprecate, but do not remove the 202.
Okay, thank you.
Keith Droid, deprecate effectively means you have removed it. So don't use that word.
No, it remains in the document. It says, here's a status code you shouldn't send.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the semantics are well-defined at the moment. The requirements on what you do when you receive it are supposedly well-defined. The problem seems to be people are using it and not waiting for the notify, and that's the problem you need to solve. So write that text and don't do anything about the 200 or the 202. Just leave them as they are.
Okay, and we actually have made that change as well. That's something that's further down in the slides. We probably won't get to it, but if you look through the Appendix C in the current draft, it goes through, we've changed when you establish a dialogue to make that a lot simpler. Are you going to the microphone, Andrew?
Yes, okay. Andrew Allen again. Yeah, so like Keith's saying, I wouldn't say it, if you deprecate it, then you're basically, it doesn't really exist there anymore. I would say we put some text there, the 202's there for backward compatibility or for existing applications, and recommend that new implementations only send a 200. Some text like that.
I think I can probably put together some proposed text that reflects what I'm hearing from the room, and we can hash out on the list whether it addresses it completely.
Put some text and send it to the list, because I saw slightly different opinions, actually.
Right. Now, this is just some quick background. Bug 696 is some background for an open issue that I want to get to real quick. So I'd like to go ahead and hold comments on the state machine. You can put them on the list, but I think what we have here is a likely non-controversial change the document real quick. I just want to walk through it so it's in everyone's head so we can talk about the issue at hand. The 3065 didn't actually define a formal state machine for how a subscriber behaves and how a notifier behaves, and it left an important gap. In particular, when I send a subscribe and get a 200 to that, it wasn't clear how long I needed to hold on state before receiving a notify. And basically, if I never received a notify, if you just follow the specification as is, you would hold on to that state indefinitely. We need a timer there to basically say, after a certain amount of time, if you don't receive a notify, something's obviously gone wrong and you can release resources. So the new document proposes that we have a state machine. And that state machine, that specific transition, is supervised by a timer, the 64T1, because effectively the notifier is supposed to send a notify immediately, which would mean that if you go through the entire retransmission cycle, the last time he's going to send something out on the wire is 64T1. This is effectively the same way that we treat responses to requests. And so if you look at, is that readable from down there? Mostly. If you look at this, we have this new transition. Right there. That supervises it. And we have also defined formally a state machine on the notifier end, although it doesn't have to have a timer because it's supposed to send things immediately. It's just a transaction timer as far as he's concerned. So the open issue that arises from this is this new timer L, that we use to supervise when a notify is supposed to arrive. It's not clear whether we want to apply this to resubscribes in addition to the initial subscribes. for the initial subscribers, it's mandatory because you have this dialogue that may or may not go up, and you don't know exactly how long. You haven't had any response back from the far end that authoritatively tells you how long the subscription is going to go for. When you're doing a resubscribe, you have an expires on this. You know that after a certain amount of time, the whole state's going to go away anyway. So it's not as critical to time supervise it. On the other hand, if you don't receive this notifier right away and you aren't using some sort of an extension that's going to throttle it, then it's clear that something's gone wrong anyway, and the chances of something useful coming out of this specific subscription are relatively low. So from that perspective, tearing it down seems to make sense, and you end up freeing up those resources. In particular, we have event packages being defined now where your expiration times aren't on the order of minutes and hours, they are on the orders of days and weeks. And holding on to this state for days and weeks doesn't make much sense when you're not actually receiving notifications from the far end. So those are sort of the two sides of that argument. Does anyone have an opinion about how we should treat this? I'm going to flip a coin when I get back to my office then.
I think explicitly calling out the timer is a sane and reasonable thing to do and will help the implementation community.
Calling it out as if this pops in the middle of subscription, you tear the subscription down?
It's like a 408, right? We're going to have to look at what 408 was in the dialogue usage draft. Okay. But so we can chase that down. Invite fix takes L.
Invite what?
The invite fix draft takes L.
Oh, so I need to change this to M or something. Actually, I'm going to go all the way to N if that's the case. It's mnemonic with notify. I'm good with that.
So, Keith Drage. No, I don't think you should go home to the office and flip a coin.
Want me to flip it here?
No, I don't want you to do that either. One thing that does strike me is that this list has only actually appeared within the appendices to the draft, correct? You haven't actually done a single posting of all these issues to the list and sorted.
Not individually, no.
No. So what I would suggest you do is you take all the more major of these issues and you do actually post them to the issue to the list with some tick boxes on what people think and see what response you get back, and then maybe flip the coin, but
Okay, so you're suggesting that I take this to the list, and the lack of response in this room reflects not enough time to...
You know, don't address them in the room as well, but for all of these, I think you should explicitly call them out on the list and say, you know, is there any opinion out there on which of these we should do?
Okay.
The default, I think, actually has to be do nothing, because this is a well-established existing draft. If people aren't complaining, then there's obviously nothing wrong.
I have a bug tracker that disagrees with you.
So let me, James Polk, let me understand your example. Let's say the original subscription was for 3,600 seconds, and if somebody resubscribes halfway through at 1,800 seconds, and if you don't get the notify, then the entire initial subscription just ended, and that's the question?
That's one option. The other option is to say wait till the end of that hour.
I would say wait to the end of the originally accepted subscription.
Okay. So what if that originally accepted subscription was for a week?
It's still accepted.
Okay.
It was accepted, and this shouldn't be used as a something's gone wrong in the middle, but it still can go back right. There shouldn't be a way to early terminate.
We already have. Right. If that, for example, if that resubscribe didn't receive a 200, if I sent that subscribe and I never got a 200 back, the subscription does go away. So that's a timeout condition that says something's gone wrong in the middle, we're taking this away. Now, this is another timeout condition because effectively this notify serves almost the same purpose as that 200. What we're doing is we're kind of having to deal with the fact that we don't have the special proxy handling that invite does. So we have to have this special three-way handshake instead of the invite 200 action handshake, right?
Right. So I understand how the resubscribe 200 there's no 200 okay, But if you receive the 200K and don't get the subsequent notify, that's also going to kill the original subscription. That's
one proposal, yes.
Yeah, that seems off. Now, not receiving the resubscribes 200 makes sense.
Okay. So it seems that to get a protracted discussion on this, I'll probably have to put it on the list and start poking people pretty hard to answer. All right, well, those are the major open issues. Robert wants to say a few words, and we have less time than I expected to leave him. I apologize, Robert.
Yeah, just very quickly. If anybody's following, what is happening with Record Route Fix is it's going through ISG. We're basically down to one discuss that I think I'm clearing today. Well, when the draft gets revised and people get to look at it. But it was around the intended status of the draft. When we argued about this in SIP for a very long time, we ended up sending it up as BCP. And that got questioned when we were going through ISG review. We went back and we looked at the definition of BCP in 2026, and I recommend that everybody do that. And we found out that it was fairly clear that this particular draft doesn't fit what 2026 is. What 2026 claims a BCP is. We're still having conversations about whether and how to clarify what a BCP is and isn't. This thing falls into the can go through the standards ladder, and we'll just go ahead and run it through as proposed standard.
Thanks. If you have not signed the blue sheet, please head up to the stage before you leave the room. Make sure your name's on here. Otherwise, thank you very much for coming. Enjoy
just,
your lunch.
Just
Keith.
One comment on Robert's last statement. The discussion on Record Route Fix is on the SIP list, so make sure that you're still monitoring that list if you want that discussion.
Okay. Thank you.